Well, good morning.
Good morning.
That was inspiring. So glad that you're here. We have a lot to talk about today, so that's why I'm coming up first, because I have a lot of things to say to you, but then I got to head across the pond and talk to people at the big house, too. So first thing I want to do before I speak to you this morning, we're going to be looking at the movies, and I'm happy to share this message this morning. I'm excited about it. But before I do, I want to tell you guys about what's happening this fall. Before I tell you what's happening this fall, I've got to explain to you and help you to see maybe the world from a different viewpoint. Maybe not so much as a student, but to draw away and kind of see kind of life in a long-term perspective. Because what studies have been looking, they've been looking at students like you and looking at students as they graduate from high school, as they go into college, and what happens with faith. What they're finding is that that this generation is just as spiritual and religious as any other generation, and that students who are growing up in the church have a desire to follow Jesus, but they find that as they go through college, they begin to drop off. Now, it's not because of intellectual doubt or anything like that. What the problem is, though, is students are unable to really make a meaningful connection to a faith community. They're not able to really know what it's like to be in a church. And if you guys imagine with me, again, if you draw yourself back, you can imagine this, right? As you were, if you've gone here your entire life, then you were born, you were a little baby, you were put into the nursery while your parents went to church, and then as you grew older, you went to a different classroom in a different space, And it's possible that somebody could grow up in our church, and the only time they ever are in a service on Sunday morning is on grad weekend. Now, if you think about that, and think about the long-term effects, you can understand what I'm talking about, that we have a problem if students are graduating and we've been discipling them, but they don't know what it means to be in the local body. In fact, what they found is churches much smaller than ours, much more liturgical, old school, old music. Those churches, the kids that go to those churches, usually their faith sticks. And the reason is because they are connected. They're not separated and in a different place. They're connected to that body, and they understand what it means like, what it means to be in a faith community. That makes sense to you guys? So this fall, we have some interesting and exciting and challenging changes and shifts coming our way. So this is what's going to happen. After fall retreat, high school students will no longer be coming here on Sunday morning. What's going to happen is middle school students, you'll come here for a time of teaching, for small group time, just like we did last year. It'll be very similar. There won't necessarily be worship, but there'll certainly be a time for you to learn and to grow together, and that's what's going to happen for middle school students. High school students, here's the fact of the matter is you are virtually adults. You have so many responsibilities. You're maturing, and we want you to be a part of the body. We want you to be a part of the church. And so over at the big house, we're going to start having equipping classes for you, but we really want you to become a part of worship. And not only a part of worship, these studies have found those who have faith at stakes are people who usually are serving, volunteering. They're actually a part of things. And so that's our emphasis. We want you guys to be worshiping alongside of other believers, and we want you guys serving as well. That's going to be our emphasis. Now, some of you, that might be a shock, and you're like, wait, I value time together. We need to be have an identity together, and I agree with you. And so what we're doing is, and for those of you who have been around here long enough, I guess you'd say we're going back, but really, we're going forward. We're going to start midweek programming for middle school students on Tuesdays and high school students on Thursdays. It's going to be similar to Fuel, so we'll have times where, not every week maybe, but we'll have worship. You'll have a challenging message. And listen, it's going to be in an environment where you know you can invite your friends to, and they're going to hear a message that's relevant to them, and a chance for them to hear the gospel. And we want this night to be all about discipleship, about you guys being challenged to be obedient to the word of God, and also being able to invite your friends, because discipleship begins even before someone believes in Jesus. I don't know if you realize that. The disciples, when Jesus called them, they didn't believe he was the Son of God. He said, come follow me, and they began that process. We want you guys to do that too with your friends, and so we want that to happen on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. And then on the weekends, our open nights, we're going to be doing, instead of every weekend, it'll be the first and third weekend. And that's more just about balance in life and schedules. And we want the times where we're there to be very intentional. We don't want it to be watered down by having so many weekend stuff. And Tom and I want to make sure we have all the energy we can muster to give to you guys during the week. Does that make sense to y'all? I can't take questions right now. But I know that Tom and myself were willing to talk to you guys if you have questions or if you need to understand. But again, I know this requires you to pull back and kind of leave yourself as a student behind and kind of try to look at big picture and long term. Because here's the deal. Coke and chips are great in the short term, right? It always feels good to eat candy and chips and pop. But in the long term, it's not so good. And I know from personal experience, not so good. And this is the same thing, that in a sense, changing fuel and changing anything is sometimes uncomfortable. But we're looking at this in the long term. And my goal and the thing I have to answer to God for is how I helped you guys and how I equipped and discipled you to be lifelong followers, not just followers in high school. When you guys leave, that's when I know if I've succeeded or failed, is how you live your faith out after you leave this ministry. So that's our plans, guys. Let me pray for those so that we can transition into what I want to talk about today. So let's pray. God, we just ask that you would help us, that you would just help these changes to really produce the fruit that, God, you want to have here, that we'd be producing disciples who have lifelong faith. God, I pray you'd help as we transition, and God, we just pray that you would bring the right people to our ministries to serve alongside of us, to help these students follow you together, loving, seeking, and serving others. God, we believe that this is a move that's been inspired by you and a conviction you've given us in our hearts as a leadership. And so, God, we just pray you continue to lead us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. At the movies. That's a wonderful transition, wasn't it? We're going to be looking this week at the movie The Lorax. Anybody ever seen the movie The Lorax? Watch it in theaters. Just came out on video this week. If you haven't seen the movie The Lorax, then let me just give you an idea. This is the opening scene talking about this town where everything is manufactured. There's everything, the grass, the bushes, the trees, it's all made. There's nothing there that's natural. And the whole city is painfully unaware of how disconnected they are from creation and how messed up their world has become. They're unaware of what has happened because there's this huge wall that surrounds the city, so they don't see what's happened, the destruction around them that has gone into making that city what it is. The movie's really about how we become disconnected from creation. And I think that is very true for our world and for us as well. In fact, I have a little test for you in this next slide. This is a little, just a little quiz, okay? Which of these is a bird? Okay. Anybody can tell me which one, the bird left or right? That's awesome. That's great. All right, here we go. In all seriousness, there's another question. Go to the next slide. Now, this is the tag that in California is mandatory to put on this bird. This product contains chemicals known by the state of California to cause cancer and birth defects and other reproductive harm. So I have one more question that's going to come up on the screen. What kind of culture markets and sells this to children? And what kind of connection should we have to creation? What does it mean for how you and I should live? God has something to say. I'm going to read. You can join me in your Bibles in Genesis 1, verse 26 through 31. Genesis 1, really easy to find, folks. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's pray. Lord, help us to better see the call you've placed in our lives, how we can live in such a way that when we hand this earth over to the next generation, we can have no regrets. Lord, speak through your word and through me this morning. Lord, we thank you that you care so much for us and every creature on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this passage of scripture shows us a couple important things. First is that we should see that there's a part where you and I have the image of God. We bear his image. And part of that image is of leadership and management. God creates Adam and then charges him to rule over all creation. You see, in the beginning, man lived in the garden. He cared for it, the plants, the fruits, the garden gave him everything he needed. But this all changed after the fall. When Adam sinned, it not only separated him from God and his proper relationship with him, but it also alienated him from creation as well. Adam and Eve's sin eventually led to them being kicked out of the garden. They were disconnected from creation and from the responsibility they had been given. Now, that feeling of being disconnected, it still exists today. Maybe even more so now than ever before in human history. We all have this inner need to connect with nature. And don't think marketers and advertisers haven't noticed that need. How many car commercials do you see where they're showing someone driving somewhere that you would actually drive? Like to the store, to the mall, to work? No, they're always driving through the countryside, off the beaten path, and parking to camp on the shoreline. Like, who does that? So according to Hummer, you can connect back with nature. It's only going to cost you, I think I have it on the next slide, $61,000. So the small fortune, for that small fortune, you can take that and as it plows through rocks and riverbeds. Who would actually spend 60 grand on a car and then take it through the things they show them taking it through, right? And let's not forget at 10 miles per gallon, so seriously in touch with nature, right? Who does that? And yet it works because we all have this inner desire to return to the garden. And I say that feeling of disconnection may be greater now than ever before because as I was preparing for this sermon and looking for scripture passages that talked about the environment and creation care, what I found is the Bible doesn't say much about it, to be honest with you. And the reason that it doesn't talk about creation care and pollution is because until the last 100 years or so of existence, these things didn't exist, at least not the way we're experiencing it. You see, in the last century, people have become very aware of the relationship to the earth. Before the Industrial Revolution, people understood because they understood that they needed the soil and the water because they were dependent on their crops. They saw a direct correlation between what happened to the earth and what happened to them and their families. But you and I, 100 years later, as the Industrial Revolution, as people moved from the countryside to cities to take jobs, suddenly we don't see where milk comes from. People didn't know where the meat they were eating dinner, where it was grown. So they didn't really question whether it was right or wrong to pump waste into the Great Lakes. They didn't see the harm in the smoke that was released into the air. And no one made the connection between those things and the diseases that we are still dealing with today. And that's where we are. We have no idea the needs of the earth and what it requires to sustain us. We don't consider where our waste goes. We're just like those in Sneedville. We ignore the whole issue, oftentimes by making it a political one. But talking about the environment is not a political issue. It's not a conservative or liberal issue. It's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. If you eat food to live, if you need water to drink, and if your lungs require air to breathe, then you can agree with me that talking about creation is not a topic that fits into a spectrum of politics. Really, it's a life issue. The anti-poverty organization World Bank estimates that one-fifth of all illness and millions of deaths in poor countries can be attributed to environmental factors such as climate change and pollution. That question of where our trash goes, there are some people that know better of us. These are pictures of children in Indonesia. They're looking for food. There's a whole segment of the population in India whose jobs it is to rummage through the trash to find things that can be eaten, reused, or recycled. I couldn't find a picture to show you guys. I don't know if you'd want to see it, of a woman who lives in China, and her job every day is to smash old TVs and computer monitors that are shipped there from the United States. And I doubt she realizes with each one she breaks, she's releasing phosphors in the air and about 4 pounds of lead into the environment in which her and her children live. Or what about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch? I don't know if you guys know about this, better known as the world's garbage dump. You don't hear much about it. It's hard to see, but that's a man in a boat going through the ocean. You see, In the Pacific Ocean, there is an area twice the size of the continental United States that's a soupy mess of plastic and trash that's been caught in the middle of these circular currents. And so all of our trash is kind of siphoned there. Some of these areas have been tested, and they have found that there is more plastic than plankton. It's choking the ocean life that lives there, and it's made up of all of our stuff. We were made in God's image, and we were charged to take charge and to rule over creation, to manage and to lead. And we've become disconnected, and we have done an awful job. You know, first part of leadership, one of the first things you do as a leader, if you have leadership over something, is to ask yourself, what is my intention? If our intention is to squander the world's resources in order to live at the greatest level of comfort ever seen on the face of the earth at the cost of our children's health and the health of the earth's entire ecosystems, if that's our goal, good job, because we're right on target. But can I suggest that maybe God has a different goal for us? I want to read this out of Job chapter 12:7-10. But ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds of the air and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these do not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. In Ephesians 5, Paul calls us to be imitators of God, to live a life of love. Can I suggest that our goal when it comes to creation should be this? To ask ourselves this, how do we love all children of all species for all time? Now, I'm not suggesting we all become vegetarians. I myself love steak. But what I'm suggesting is that if we want future generations to enjoy the taste a fresh catfish, which I, by the way, love, then we have to care about the health and the habitat of catfish. And if you want future generations to experience songbirds in the spring, then you have to care about your impact on songbirds. Even if I can't convince you to care about every animal on the in all the plants on the earth, surely you have some compassion for humans. If we're truly pro-life, then we must be asking these questions. How can we say life is sacred and not care about the ability for the poor to grow food and drink clean water and breathe clean air? These things should be the right of every human being on this planet. And if it's not happening because we aren't being leaders and managers that God has called us to be. I find it interesting. Sometimes I hear people say that we shouldn't really care about the environment. Maybe that's for tree huggers because Jesus is going to come back and he's going to fix all the things that are broken and he'll clean up this big mess. But I have a passage of scripture I'd love us to read together after this one, I believe. Yes, Matthew 24, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. It would seem to me in this passage that when God gives us a responsibility, we're responsible until he says otherwise. The faithful and wise servant doesn't assume when the master will return. He doesn't assume what the master will do when he returns. The faithful and the wise servant does what he's been charged to do and continues to do it until the master does return. So what are we to do with all of this? Just go home, feel guilty, cry? Maybe. No, I'm not trying to give anyone a guilt trip. My hope is that you and I might become aware. Not only aware, but active. God has called us to help to be a part of the solution that includes issues of the environment. Because the environment isn't a political issue. It's a life issue. It's a stewardship issue. I want us to watch one last clip from The Lorax as this one boy who's never seen a tree suddenly is charged to be a person of change. He's given a chance to start over. Listen, out of all of the planets and all of the galaxies and all the universe, as far as we know, this one is all we got. It's our one chance to live and to raise a family and to worship God. And if God asks us to worship him by taking care of it, I think we should be intentional about doing it. Because how can we worship the Creator while we are destroying the beauty that He created? For far too long, we've let the world around us lead in the area of environmental stewardship. But it's time that you and I, as children of God, take hold of this mandate to care for creation and to run with it. It's time for us to lead. And it's time for us to make this a priority in our lives. In the way we shop, in the way we consume things, in the way we vote, in every way possible, we need to be an influence for good. So maybe for some of you, it's just a change in attitude today. Maybe today you start caring for the environment and it becomes a shift, and it becomes not just this issue of being a political issue. Maybe today you recognize that for more than anyone else, as a child of God, we should be caring about what He has created. Because it's awe-inspiring. Because creation shows us the Creator. But not only should we be aware of what's going on, but we should be intentional about where our waste goes and the waste we create. We need to become creative in reducing, reusing, recycling, the 3 R's that you guys learned so long ago. We need to be intentional about when we use building materials, about what they're made of. We need to stop throwing our Tim Hortons cups on the ground. Maybe we should let people know around us. Maybe we should let politicians know that this is an issue for Christians as well. To be honest, I don't have all the answers as far as where we go with this, but I know that if we're intentional about it, we can find ways. We as a church, yes, you, us, church, should be leading. We should be finding creative ways. I don't know about you, but when I look at our city, I see a city that needs that kind of church. Of all the places I've ever lived, I've never known a place that has been so impacted by pollution and by the lack of environmental care. I don't even want to imagine how many people that we love and know are sick, and the root cause, if we were able to figure it out, would be of what somebody threw into the ground or into the water 100 years ago. We've got to change, and we've got to be different. We've got to worship God, and we've got to do it more than just with our voices, more than just with attendance, but we've got to do it with the way we live. And we have to take back this charge that He has given us to be leaders and managers of the created order. Let me pray. God, we thank You for this morning. Just thank You for Your word. And God, it's amazing that You would trust us to do this, to care for this world that You've created. You put it into our hands to be leaders. And God, in the last 100 years, we collectively have been awful. We've been doing a terrible job. And God, it's not just an issue of hurting polar bears in the Arctic Circle. It's children. It's moms and dads. It's affecting the way they eat and what they consume, the quality of life they have. Our actions impact that. And for that, Lord, we're sorry. I pray, God, that You would just create in us a passion and a desire and innovation to do what is right and to love all children of all species for all time. God, I thank You and I pray it in Your name. Amen.